Everything is Energy is everything you have been searching for to live a life of fulfillment, ease, and fun. We are your hosts, Kristen Morelli.
And David Morelli. We are dedicated to shining the light of truth into your life as we teach you to change your energy and change your life.
We will show you how to tap into the renewable sources of energy for your heart, mind, body, and soul.
Guests on our show are experts and share profound insights that you can use to transform every area of your life.
From wealth to your health.
From food to your mood.
From metaphysics to quantum physics, all expanding on one truth.
Everything is energy.
Welcome to the Everything is Energy radio show. This is one of your hosts, David Morelli.
And this is your other host, Kristen Morelli.
And welcome. We are exploring something very exciting today, which is you and your kids.
Didn't you, you know, when you had the dream about being a parent, and for those of you who aren't, maybe you still have this twinkle in your eye, you know, this sort of like, oh, it's going to be this great fantasy, and they're going to be so well-behaved, and I'm not going to make any of the mistakes my parents made with me.
Yeah, and, you know, then, oh, it'll be just glorious all the time.
And then you get pregnant, and then you're sick. And, you know, there's all these things that come along with the reality of being a parent. And although we both dearly love being parents, we feel like this is a topic that's so important that doesn't get nearly enough attention. And when we scanned across the, you know, sort of personal development industry for people who teach about, you know, conscious parenting, there weren't a whole lot that really were obvious to us. And so we just decided, let's just have a show about it. And David and I will share with you our insights, some of our blunders.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of it really holding it lightly. You know, because one of the things I think with parenting is that we want to do such a great job. These are our kids. We love them so deeply. And we just want to get it right. And that can cause all sorts of complications.
Yeah. You know, people talk about relationships are a great place to have are a spiritual path in and of themselves.
Yeah, like a romantic relationship.
Yeah, romantic relationships are. Yeah. So is parenting, you know, and really relationships of any kind. But as a parent, you're really dealing with, you know, sort of the reflection. You know, each of our children are reflections of us, you know, and we're dealing with the reflection that we're getting back, and it's like, dang it, why didn't that work? You know, and kids in general, before we sort of dive into the topic, I just want to say kids in general will respond way more to your energy.
Oh, yeah.
Than they will to your words.
Absolutely.
And that is tough for the adults in their lives who are going, well, why aren't you listening to me? Right? But they're listening all the time, but they're primarily listening to energy.
To vibration.
Secondarily, yeah, secondarily listening to your words. So we're going to show you how to change some of that energy. We're going to explore some fun topics. You know, places where people normally get hung up. I've part of my background is as a preschool teacher for 4 years. I had 27 kids in the classroom and all of their families. And during that time, I was also doing, you know, energy work and intuitive readings and things. So I've had lots of exposure to all kinds of different styles and facets, both from the actual being a parent style and also from being in the classroom and, you know, watching these kids. It's like 27 mirrors in a room all at the same time. You know, and they're all responding to your energy. And it's a great place to learn to grow yourself.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about some concepts. Maybe you've entertained them before, maybe you haven't. But we're going to talk about what may be happening in utero or what may have happened for you in utero or for, you know, a child that you're yet to have. And we're even going to introduce some of the teachings of a guy named Bruce Lipton. I don't know if you know who Bruce is, but he wrote a book called The Biology of Belief, and he's one of the world-renowned top cell biologists. He really is a bridge. He considers himself a bridge between spirit and science, which is just a beautiful thing to me. And, you know, he really found his spirituality through science, through pushing the edge of science. He really found his own connection to spirit. But he has this chapter in his book called The Biology of Belief. He has this chapter called Conscious Parenting. And some of the book was a little too technical for me, and I skipped through a bunch of sections, or I wrote, Ask David. And But then towards the end, I was reading about this conscious parenting, and it really resonated with me and what my experience has been, you know, and therefore what has become my beliefs out of my experience. So we're going to share some of that, and it's some pretty leading-edge thought around before you have even get pregnant, you know, or if you're a man listening to this show, before your partner gets pregnant. You know, once a woman becomes pregnant, and what happens throughout the pregnancy, the birth, you know, early childhood and that sort of thing. We are also inviting on a guest today, a woman who started a program called Project Gifted, and I love it. It's really, she has very ambitious dreams and goals for this program, and it's really to help millions and millions and millions and millions of parents around the world begin to cultivate
consciousness in their parenting. Really.
Yeah, consciousness,
yeah.
You know, really being the parents that they want to be. And, you know, what compels us to really talk about this, and that's why Bruce has the chapter, Conscious Parenting, in his book, Biology of Belief. It doesn't even seem like it would be sort of an appropriate chapter title. But the reason that he does and why we want to talk to you guys about it is because a lot of what we see is that people are going back and unraveling beliefs and stories that they've told themselves from, you know, early childhood, stories that may not even have been told to them, but they picked up a particular vibration, and their brain connected that vibration to a particular thought, and so now cemented into their subconscious is this belief that's been limiting, you know, this person for their lifetime.
And really what we're up to is teaching you how to uncement it.
That's
you know,
right.
How to take out the energy from
Jack
those
Hammer
beliefs.
It? Yeah. No.
Well, I was wondering, you know, trying to figure out what would be an appropriate way to get the cement out of there, you know.
It was a little tricky. So let's get started and talk about it, and then we'll bring, and the gal that we're bringing on is Melissa Grexy, so you guys will get a chance to hear from her here in a few minutes. But let's talk about some of the topics here. Let's get rolling.
All right. One of the things, so what we're going to talk about, obviously this is called Everything is Energy, right? This radio show, Everything is Energy. And instead of going towards the mind, you know, the mind processing of all kinds of things, and you know, we're going to be talking about an energy. You know, so one of the things, have you ever noticed when, you know, people have talked about should, you know, you should do this,
that
you should do that.
Obligation, that feels heavy. As soon as you say the word should, you just feel this heaviness sort of settle in. Should.
And how often do, you know, parents say that to their kids, you know,
yeah.
you should put that away, or, you know, you should be quiet, or you should, you know, and it's the should that really,
right.
It has it that, like you're saying, it has this energy of heaviness.
And even if, even if we don't, as parents, say the word should, there can be an implied should, right? You know, just in the way that we say it.
You know, like, well, put that away.
Right.
You know, like you
should.
Yeah.
Right. There's that implied should. And, you know, it's have you guys ever heard the, what is it, Green Eggs and Ham? And I love Dr. Seuss. There's so much wisdom, I think, in some of the books that he wrote. And, like, particularly one of my favorites is Other Places You'll Go. But in Green Eggs and Ham, he talks about would you, could you. Like, those are so empowering. Would you, could you.
Would you, could you in a box? Would you, could you with a fox? Right?
Would you, yeah. And there's not a lot of should you. And there's none, actually, in the book. And the thing is should has a very different vibration in that word than would and could. Would and could are full of choice. They're full of possibility. They're full of empowerment. Whereas should is full of obligation. It's full of following someone else's wishes, which is next week's topic about following someone else's wishes. We're talking about guruism next week. But it's that thing that we start with our children at a young age to not listen to their own inner wisdom, to not listen to their own truth, and we tell them they should feel happy about something, or they should comply, or they should not pull things off of the shelves at the store.
So here's what I watch energetically, because you know, I see sort of the dynamic that goes on, and often what it looks like is putting the should into their energy field, meaning you should do this, so it becomes heavy, it becomes sort of a, it's almost like a violation of their own personal space, mm-hmm. instead of would you or could you, you know? If you were to say, instead of, you should put that on the shelf, right? Instead, you could say, would you put that on the shelf? You know, would you please put that on the shelf?
Yeah.
You know, and in your energy, it can say, you know, this is just what I'd like you to do. You know, it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be like, you know, you're not begging them, like, would you please?
Yeah,
you know,
that's the other side of the extreme, right, that we as parents can often go to.
Yeah.
Is we came from this sort of should and domineering thing, and then we move towards total permissiveness, which doesn't feel safe and create safety for children, because children need boundaries, and within structure, then they can find their freedom. But without any of that, they can feel lost and anxious, and it's a little scary.
Structure rather than squelching.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
It's such a fine line. I notice whenever we talk about a topic, it's like it's just that fine line that you have to feel into. You know, and that's why it's energy. That's why it's vibration, because as you're parenting, it's like feeling into it. How am I saying this? Because we could say the same exact words, and yet a child could perceive those words completely differently based on our energy, the way we feel to them.
Give us an example.
I don't know. I can't think of...
How about, like, put that away, right? So if your energy is, like, angry and upset, put that away, right?
Right.
Versus, oh, put that away. You know, it's like oh, here's the next step in what we're doing. You know, put that away, and then we'll go do this.
That's an excellent example.
So it's really your energy. Your energy speaks louder than any words. You know, and people talk about, you know, quote, body language. It's not necessarily body language, people. It's your energy language.
Yeah, I don't think it's body language. I actually, the way that I see it go is that energy language comes first and body language comes second. It's actually an outflow of your internal energy. That's just my take on things. You know, and one of the things that parents can get to a lot of times, I think, is feeling like they have to be perfect or blaming themselves for, you know, how they've gotten angry with their kids. And we will tell you, we have gotten angry plenty of times. You know, we're not perfect. And it's the willingness to not be perfect that gives everybody a lot of spaciousness. We notice with our own child that when we give ourselves permission to not be perfect, we give him permission to not be perfect. And there's a lot of, the word that comes to me is spaciousness, permission.
I was going to say permission and grace.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it's very graceful to be able to be wherever you're at. Here's one of the things. There's so many topics. But one is, on one side is sort of the domineering, right? And I think sort of in the, let's say the 40s, 50s, you know, that sort of time period, that was kind of the popular thing. It was, you know, your kids are supposed to be seen and not hurt, right? And then, you know, the pendulum kind of swings to the other side, which is we're afraid to set boundaries with anybody. You know, with our kids, we're afraid to really say, hey, here's what the expectations are. And, you know, there's sort of this fear of it, so they run wild, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, you know, what's that book? You know, the apes and all these things are sort of flying around. Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what our culture has become a little bit, because we're afraid, you know, out of trying to be kind to sort of make up for the domineering, you know, we swing to the other side. But there's this graceful space in the middle, which is you're holding the container for them to be safe, right? You're saying, hey, here's what's okay, here's what's not okay, right? And in this space, you know, all the other stuff, you have free choice as to what you'd like to do. You know, do you want to do drawing right now, or would you rather play with Play-Doh, you know, depending on the age of your kids?
You know, I totally agree with that there is this spectrum in finding the space in the middle that works for you and works for your child is so important. One of the things, so everyone who's just joining us, we are talking here about parenting, about conscious parenting, about how to create that relationship with your children so that they can thrive the best possible. But after we come back from the break, we're going to take a short break right now. After we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you some pretty shocking scientific discoveries about when and how we actually start impacting our children. It's going to blow your mind. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to invite our guest on, Melissa Gretzky, with Project Gifted.
We will be taking some callers who have questions today. So there'll probably be a couple spots open for that. So we'll bring you in. So if you are part of the everythingisenergy.com website, if you're part of our community on that site, we have just sent you the call-in information. So if you have that in your email box, then you can call in. And then if you'd like to be part of the call-in in the future, feel free to go to everythingisenergy.com and put your email address in there, and we will be right back after this.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Are you secretly struggling in today's economic climate and desperately wanting financial help that works?
Then come join us in the Prosperity Tribe with 1,000 other people who are changing their lives in radical ways. They're creating multiple streams of income. They're discovering their purpose and their passion. And they're doing it together in a unique community that has never been done before. And they are also giving back to people all over the world. This is such a unique opportunity to really change your own life and to change other people's lives as well.
We're focused on clearing your inner blocks to success with cutting-edge energy tools with members that are saying that these tools are mind-blowing and deeply transformative. We'd like you to join us at everythingisenergy.com/prosperity.
Again, that is everythingisenergy.com/prosperity. We'll see you then.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Everything is Energy Radio Show. This is one of your hosts, David Morelli.
This is your other host, Krista Morelli, and we are talking about conscious parenting. I think the title that we put in our e-zine was Conscious Parenting for Maximum Results. And I remember, well, okay, I can think. Let me tell you, as we prepared for this radio show, I was thinking we could do a show every week on conscious parenting.
Yeah,
could do a show every week on conscious parenting. Because it's huge. It's a huge topic, and, you know, maybe we'll cover it more in the future. And we have a guest today who's going to be, you know, it's not going to be interview style like we've done some of our past shows. It's just going to be, she's going to be another wise, intelligent mom who's going to weigh in on her perspective. And she also is leading this amazing movement called Project Gifted. So would you tell everybody just a little bit about your background? I know you're a mom. You know, maybe tell them about that and tell them about the mission of Project Gifted. And, you know, just for everybody who's listening, Melissa and I share a lot in common. In fact, when we met, we couldn't stop talking because we both had so many exciting ideas. But like me, she, at a very young age, was very successful in business and sort of what I'll call retired from that business and has moved into really what her passion is. Welcome, Melissa. Maybe if you could speak up just a hair, because you're a little bit soft there on the phone.
When my girls were little, I was lucky enough to be able to do real estate, and I loved it, and that was really my passion, kind of tagged them along with me everywhere we went. And then a few years ago, about 2006, I went through a divorce and sold my business, and everything kind of changed for me. And I was looking at my life trying to figure out what is it that is really important to me. There was no more calling to do real estate, and if I was going to start a new business, I wanted it to be something that I was completely passionate about. And to make a long story short, I realized that my girls, that they inspired me more than anything else in this world, that teaching them, spending time with them, learning from them, that's really what I had the most fun doing. So how could I turn that into a business? And I drew on my knowledge of running a business from the past. I found some really great partners And that's how Project Gifted began. And what Project Gifted is, it's right now it's a blog and a community and a movement. And what we are looking to do is kind of just shed light on what parenting means now. I heard you guys talk a little bit earlier how parenting has changed over the years. And now parents are searching. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of searches online every day for parenting topics. And people want to know if what they're doing is right, if they're leading their kids down the right path. There's so many conflicting stories. So Project Gifted is about working with experts, people like you guys in the energy field, who really understand how to work with energy and how to teach kids energy. I can't wait to hear more about what you guys have to say in a few minutes. But, you know, we want to bring the knowledge that you have to the public. And it all actually started from a conversation in Napa Valley because I was telling my business partner about my favorite show, portion from a movie ever, which is The Matrix, where Trinity sits down and they download the computer program into her brain about how to fly a helicopter. Do you guys remember that scene?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so what I said to Vishen was, I said, this is how kids' brains work. You know, our kids are so brilliant. They absorb the world like a sponge. And really, we don't even understand how naturally brilliant they are. We don't understand how much the brain absorbs at a young age. And in that way, we kind of put barriers on their learning. So it started from a brain-based perspective and really quickly grew not only to brain-based learning, but spiritual learning, energy, and now financial and emotional intelligence. So that's what the blog is about. It's about bringing, kind of cutting-edge information to parents, so that they can incorporate it into their lives.
That's wonderful. And you guys have, I don't know if you heard me sharing this, but, and I don't know if you want to share this on the radio show or not, but what I love when I was talking with you and with your business partner about Project Gifted is it felt like this passion to help millions and millions, you know, or tens of millions or hundreds of millions of parents. Like, there was, you were allowing the vision to be as big as it wanted to be.
Sure, because I understand that at this point, when I started this business, I opened myself up to the universe and I said, this is what I love to do, and let's use my energy and enthusiasm for this to really change the world in a positive way, you know, however I can be a tool in this, you know, in this, because this is what's wanting to happen. This movement of conscious parenting isn't just a few people starting it. It's really being talked about now, and around the world, people are starting to gain interest in it and understand it. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm just here to kind of be of service, and it's really exciting to be part of this movement. And yeah, we have a ton of huge plans for the future around parents and also around the education system and things. But I'd be talking for the next 2 hours. So,
isn't it great? I know it's. This is such a rich topic, and it doesn't matter whether you're a parent, you know, of young children, or your children are grown,
yeah,
or you don't have kids yet. It's sort of this way of seeding how you go about being in the world. And, you know, one of the things that I found is not only does all of this topic, you know, this whole topic apply to life as a parent, but it also applies to life, you know, even within, quote, the office, or, you know, out in the world, how you relate to people and how your energy is set up, but especially when relating to kids, we've all been on both sides, I guess.
You know, We have been. Where can people find you, just so we can say the website real quick? Is it projectgifted.com?
Yeah, it's projectgifted.com.
Great, okay. And we'll tell you guys at the end of the show, as always, if you're on our site, it'll be listed on our latest show page, and, you know, we'll be doing more things with Melissa and with Project Gifted, so you guys will hear more about it as time goes on. But here's a topic that I want to bring up. I know that we have a couple. Our producer said, don't tell them to call in until you're ready because they'll swarm. So we do have some callers on the line. But here's something I really want to talk about today, and that is, when does conscious parenting begin? You know, does it begin? I remember being pregnant, and I read this book by a woman named Peggy O'Meara. It was called Attachment Parenting. Have you ever read that, Melissa?
No, I haven't read that one.
It's a great book. It was written a long time ago, so it's not maybe a reference that people use now. You know, I mean, even when I read it 10 years ago, it was still, you know, I would say sort of a little bit older, you know. But what I loved about it is called attachment parenting, and it really seeded some ideas inside of me. And that was really the idea that children, from the time that they're born and in utero, really need to feel that sort of the energy of love, you know, to feel and be touched and be held. And that was such an important part of a child. This is what her belief, and anybody who followed attachment parenting, their belief was that was such an important part of how a child would develop and grow in this world. And it resonated with me. Like, that made sense to me. And one of the things that it also opened a door for, though, was the concept that maybe we were affecting our children before they were born. You know, not just when they were, you know, 1 month or 5 months or a year or 2 years when they could start really interacting, but maybe we were having a profound impact on them, you know, before they were born. And Bruce Lipton would go even further than that, and I'll share an excerpt from his book. But Melissa and David, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on when does conscious parenting begin?
Sure. I absolutely agree with you on that. And you guys say it so well. Because everything is energy, it makes perfect sense that if we're energetic beings and they are within inside us, especially I would think the mother's mood and her own energy towards the world and life would have a profound impact on that baby growing inside her. So I also studied with some Indian spiritual leaders. They came over to actually Fiji is where I saw them. And it was fascinating. If I can find it, I will give it to you guys, Kristen and David, so you can post it on your website. It's about how things and traumas that can happen in a mom's life when she's pregnant actually affect the baby in utero in different ways as they develop and age. And they've obviously studied this for hundreds of years. So it's really precise what they talk about. There's different attachments and different emotions that will develop in the baby based on events that can happen when they're in the womb. So it's fascinating.
I absolutely believe that.
And I'll go maybe even a step farther, which is, you know, whatever you have, you know, as a mom or a dad, I guess, whatever you have in your past, there's an energetic vibration or imprint that's held in your body. So let's say you've gone through, you know, difficult times in the past, but you still sort of get triggered by that, but you don't necessarily, you're not experiencing the trauma while the baby is in utero. But it sort of lives, you know what
in
I mean?
This,
it lives
like,
in your subconscious,
soup.
It lives in your energetic soup, yeah. And so then basically what happens is that all of your vibration, the baby is absorbing, you know? Not only absorbing, I mean, to some degree it feels a little bit like, well, am I polluting my kid before they even are born, right?
Yeah.
That's not really it. It's sort of the energy context in which they're growing, right? And so the more that you can do, you know, not from a place of feeling guilty or you know, any kind of shame or any kind of should, right? But the more that you can do to just be in that sort of lighter state to process the stuff that, you know, that you went through as a kid, and, you know, that's what I would say is probably one of the best practices is bring your awareness to whatever, you know, your energy system feels like. And the more that you can, you know, like we were talking about with attachment parenting, infuse it with love.
You know, the thing that's interesting, though, about what you say is it's so easy. Melissa, when you know, can't you relate to all these moms who you hear about, oh my gosh, I'm having such an impact on my child when they're in utero and when they're a small baby. And it's so easy for moms to go to that guilt thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not feeling good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. But, you know, I don't know. I have a theory about guilt, and I think it's not meant to bring our energy down. It's just,
yeah.
I think it's a little bit good in a way. If you recognize that you're feeling the guilt, that means you are a great parent automatically. Even though you don't have all the tools and the knowledge, that means you love this person enough to be concerned about making sure you do a good job yourself. So as long as we don't dwell in the guilt and we just acknowledge it and know that that's a cue that we want to learn and grow more as parents, then I think we shouldn't, you know, try to get rid of it. Just not stay in that place.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that was for me. I wasn't willing to feel guilty because I felt like that was doing more damage than good.
Yeah.
So anytime I would go into a place of guilt, I was like, no, this is just where I'm at right now. And he chose me, I chose him. We're traveling this journey together. And at the same time, I'd be waking up, you know, and becoming more conscious. I want to share this with you guys. This is from Bruce's book, okay? And it's about this whole notion of, you know, the in utero piece. And I know we don't want to spend the whole show on this, but it was really interesting. He says, it's on page 146 of the Biology of Belief. He says, in my lectures on conscious parenting, I cite research, but I also show a video from an Italian conscious parenting organization, Associazione Nazionale Educazione, whatever, prenatal, prenatale, which graphically illustrates the interdependent relationship between parents and their unborn child. In this video, a mother and father engage in a loud argument while the woman is undergoing a sonogram. And I think everybody knows what a sonogram is.
Yeah, where there's a little, yep.
Okay. You can vividly see the fetus jump when the argument starts. The startled fetus arches its body and jumps up as if it were on a trampoline when the argument is punctuated with the shattering of glass. The power of modern technology in the form of a sonogram helps to lay rest to the myth that the unborn child is not a sophisticated enough organism to react to anything other than its nutritional environment. And
wow.
That really struck me because, you know, of course I believe that everything is energy. I didn't always believe that everything was energy, but I especially believe it because I've experienced it. And Melissa, you don't know this, but I have shared this on the radio show, and I'm fine with sharing it. And, you know, my own history is my father died when my mom was pregnant with me. And I remember being told by various experts that that was affecting me. It was, you know, and I was like, no, I wasn't even born. I don't even remember that.
Right.
And as I became more awake and started to understand the implications, and as I started to learn to work with energy, I could actually see it and sense energetically what happened when my father died and what that sort of vibrational or energetic soup that I was living in during those months in utero. So for everyone who knows somebody who wants to have a child or is pregnant or wants to be pregnant themselves, just, you know, be willing to open yourself to the idea that conscious parenting will, you know, start, you know, long before really you're pregnant, because it, you do bring all of your history to those 9 months that you're carrying a child inside of you. And it's not the blame the mother thing. You know, I really want to dispel that, that, you know, anybody who listens to us knows that we're not into blaming anyway, but you know, we're not returning to an old paradigm of blaming mothers for every ailment, you know, medicine doesn't understand, or for every ailment that happens in society.
So so what we're going to do here is we're going to be taking a caller here just in a moment, but think about, you know, whether or not you're, you know, in that in utero stage or not. There's also that you create an energy environment or an energy soup in which your children grow up.
Yeah.
No matter whether they're in utero or whether they're in your house or whether they've even gone beyond your home,
yeah.
You know, depending on whatever age you are. And
you can go back. I want to add something to that.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone back to that time when I was in utero and healed that. So you can go back to when you had your child or you were in, you know, you can go back to that time and heal anything energetically that needs to be healed. And as David said, they do. They live in your energetic and vibrational world. For especially up until the ages of 7, 8, 9, and 10, this is shown, especially in Eastern cultures, they've done a lot of research into this, that in fact, when a child in some cultures in the East, when a child gets sick, they don't treat the child, they treat the mother, because there's such a connection and such a bond there. So as David said, I just wanted to jump in there, because I felt that really resonates with me, that it's the first language we believe that they learn, or that they know, they come in knowing, is the language of vibration. They later learn body language or, you know, human
verbal language,
English or Japanese or whatever it is that they learn, but the first language that they know is the language of vibration and energy, and that's the most important one, I think, for parents to really address early
on. If you want to be able to shift your energy, we do have some energy tools on the everythingisenergy.com website. You put in your name and your email, and we'll ship those off to you. But for right now, let's take Ken from California. He's our first caller. Welcome, Ken. Are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Ken. How are you?
Hi, Ken.
I'm great. I love you guys' show. I've been enjoying it for months now, and I'm thrilled to be on.
Awesome.
Great.
Your voice is coming through distorted. Could you turn the volume down on your phone?
Okay.
Perfect.
Oh, that's good. We hit the
sweet
spot. All right.
We have Melissa on, too. So, Melissa, you can meet Ken.
Yeah, hi, Ken.
Hi, Melissa.
So, Ken, great,
great project.
Thank you.
We are thrilled that you love listening to our show, and we'd love to support you in conscious parenting. If you have a question or you have something that you'd like us to talk about or a story that you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, like Kristen said, it's a huge topic, I guess I'll just start by, you know, telling you a little bit about myself. I'm I've been a single father for, 12 years or so. I you know, raised six kids.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, both being a parent, well, all of it, being a parent, raising six kids, and being, you know, a single dad, congratulations. That is, I believe parenting is actually the most, bar none, there is nothing that even comes close for me. Not a president of the United States, there is not a more important job on the planet than raising our children.
Yeah, it's quite fulfilling.
I feel like Ken ought to have a Superman cape.
I know. Okay, so Ken, you have a question, I'm sure. What's your question?
Well, I've tried to live consciously, all my adult life and dealing with, you know, being a single parent, you know, I have embraced, you know, practices of meditation and conscious living and, just to stay sane, you know. and I've learned, a great deal and I've thought to pass that on to my children. And, of course, you know, as they get up into the adolescent and teenage years and you start to deal with, you know, their need to separate and individuate and rebel. And, it's painful to watch them struggle with some of the things that, you know, you feel like you've gotten a better perspective on. And, it's easy to go into, you know, the should and energy that you were talking about. I guess I'm just looking at what are some of the best ways to sort of pass on the enlightenment, you know, that you know is possible, particularly when you're dealing with teens.
Yeah.
All right, I can jump in on that one.
Great.
So one of the things that I know about, because I've also, you know, not only did I teach preschool, but I also taught energy tools and people how to be able to work with energy through, you know, from a baby all the way up through the teenage years. And I, you know, watching all the stages of development and the parent interactions with them, what I've discovered is that when they're teens, you have to hold a big space, meaning you have to almost hold that nothing that they can do is outside of where you'll love them, right? And that creating that energy of, in a sense, it's almost like this glow of energy that surrounds, not surrounds them sort of in a tight way, but in a very expansive way. What they're doing in that stage is they're really sort of sifting out and sort of finding what is their truth, you know, and they're trying on lots of different energies. And one of the best things that you can do is love them in whatever energy they're in, knowing that that too shall pass, right? That stage of exploration of all these different kinds, and they're rebelling against you and saying, you know, you screw me up, and, you know, all that, the sort of the pushback as they're sort of finding their own way, the more that you can create permission for them to find themselves, right, is probably one of the best things that you could do through the teen years. What I've found, you know, from not only reading the energy, but also from the, you know, the dynamics between the parents. So,
and are you already doing that, do you feel like, Ken, with your kids?
And it's just sort of having the balance, you know, seeking the balance between, you know, over-permissiveness and, you know, establishing, you know, healthy boundaries.
Yes, and because you're holding this space of unconditional love does not mean that you can't go, hey, yo, this is okay,
right.
This is not okay.
It's, you know, and again, it's funny because I feel like we always, it's where we are in our lives that we really just see it all in energy. You know, we see it, how it evolves in energy. It's what we were saying at the beginning of the show. You can say the same thing to a child and it's the, or a teenager, and it's the energy that you say it in. So So I would say, and you probably already do this, but for anyone who's listening and just even for you, Ken, to take it another step, is if you're noticing that you have a charge, even if your charge is worry or fear or sadness about choices a child is making, if you can learn to release and process that energy via tears, via kickboxing, via a hike, via talking, you know, therapy, energy tools, whatever works for you personally, a shower before you talk to them. But if you can release your own attachment to their life looking a particular way and also release your own charge, whatever the boundary is that's appropriate for them at that age or the guidance that is appropriate, you can deliver it in a way that has more likelihood of being heard and respected. Does that make sense, Ken?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And can I jump in real quick, guys?
Yeah, please.
Go for it.
One thing I remember about being a teenager was the struggle with my belief systems, and now I can acknowledge that it was a belief system, but at the time I had no idea what it was, right? But all these feelings of being inadequate or not pretty enough or not smart enough, all these beliefs that we somehow form throughout our life, and it's not always because of parents, it's media and society. So a lot of what I was doing was rebelling against society, rebelling against my own inner beliefs and the thoughts in my head that I wasn't good enough for some reason or another. And this is a conversation, Ken, I could have with you for hours. But I want to offer you something. And Kristen and David, if it's okay, could you give him my email? Because we have a gift that I'd like to give him all about belief systems in kids and teens. So, maybe if that helps you, I hope that it does, because I know there's different ways to work with your kids and the belief systems. And sometimes they don't even recognize that their actions are a result of some harmful beliefs they're carrying around. So
that's great. That'd be great.
Do you want to say it, Melissa? Are you wanting to say it on air? I mean, it'll be listened to by hundreds of thousands of people. I don't know what that will happen. But
if you want to email me, Ken, it's community@projectgifted.com.
Okay.
And all you have to say is, hey, this is Ken, and I'll know who it is.
All right.
Fabulous.
That's unless
wonderful.
A lot of people say, hey, this is Ken. In that case, we need a code word.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and Ken, I appreciate you bringing it up because we have not gotten to those 8 years yet with our son. And I, you know, those, it's tricky. It's a tricky space. But I do.
Yeah, it's a whole other can of fish, you know, or
yeah,
whatever.
It is.
Yep.
It is. And I do know, I do see that when we as parents really clear what is our stuff, I have seen miracles happen with our own child. And it's really been around, I didn't realize he was sort of carrying something for, you know, one of us or another parent or something like that, instead of living his own path.
Carrying some kind of energy.
Yeah,
you know, that he was
energy.
Expressing in that
yes.
moment. Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
It was like the unhealed, you know, parts of the other adults in his life. So anyway, to the extent that you can also do that, I think it'll just continue to be so helpful for your children. And they're very fortunate to have such a conscious dad. So that's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Ken, thanks for calling in.
All right.
Do you want to do another caller?
Yeah, let's do another caller.
All
so
right.
We have Amanda also from California.
Californians.
I mean, they are on it.
You know, and every time we post in Pacific time, and I wonder if that we have a lot of Californians. In our internal community, it's all over the world, but I think it's the radio show.
Yeah.
California. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing
great. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you. It's so good to be on the show. And, yeah, it was the California thing. I just happened to check my Facebook at 10:02, and I'm like, oh, conscious parenting. I still need to hear this show. So I got in a little bit late, but I knew it was meant to be because I just happened to check Facebook right then for the first time in, you know, 6 months or whatever it was.
That's awesome.
That's so great.
Thank you guys for sending out those little prompters to remind us to tune in because that was perfect.
You're wonderful. Welcome.
And we have Melissa on the phone, too. So, Amanda, what's your question?
Yeah, well, right now it's a really timely time for conscious parenting. My husband and I have we've just kind of gotten into a lot of fights the past few days about, we have a 3-year-old. I'm trying to stop getting emotional. And we have a 2-month-old. And I guess the issue, obviously, is with the 3-year-old, which is, you know, good time. he's a typical rambunctious 3-year-old, and my husband errs on the side of firm, and I err on the side of kind. And what will happen is when we're trying to set boundaries for him, my husband, he comes from a long line of anger, and just coming from his ancestry is from the Middle East, where they're just, I mean, his father was trained to beat his sister to keep her in line. I mean, the man was just, you got to keep your woman in line. So my husband has come so far from that, but there's still just so much of that just generationally. His energy, when anything upsets him, it just goes to that dark place. And so me, coming from watching my son suddenly, you know, he's happy, he's playing, and suddenly everything turns really, really dark. Then right. After my husband sends him to his room to sit by himself for a minute, or whatever it is, I go with my son so that he, you know, he knows that he's still loved. And, yeah. I still make him follow the boundaries. I still make him clean his room or whatever it is that he has to do, but I just go with him because I want him to know that he's loved, yeah. And to keep his energy and his vibration up. But that's causing problems between my husband and I because he just says that I'm sending mixed signals to our son, and that it's I'm disrespecting my husband's choices. And what do you recommend for that? Because I so want to do what's right, but I don't know what that is right now.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I just want to tell you that I understand. I know that feeling as a parent being so tuned in to your child and watching another parent affect them and feeling that sort of negativity going on and feeling, that you want to make sure that your child knows that they're loved and that they're cared for and that they're safe. So I want to validate that, and I understand that urge as a mom to do that. I don't know if, Melissa or David, do you guys have something that you want to offer up in terms of input or question? Or
well, yeah, I do. And one of the things is it's very important not to create a rift, not to try and solve the problem through the child, meaning you as parents, even if it's painful, to some degree, you have to be willing to find alliance. You know, alliance, like you're talking about, continuing to hold the boundary, of saying, hey, it is time to clean up your room. That is I just want to validate that. And then one of the main things is really seeing if you can heal anything that triggers, anything that when your husband says those things to your child, right, that triggers in you. Because the more that you can come to peace with it, you should come to peace with it, but really come into, to some degree, your husband is struggling with his own past, right? And right. I wouldn't be surprised if there were something in your past that gets triggered when he's angry in that way, right? So the more you can come to peace with your past and see sort of the divinity in him, not like you ignore stuff, because there may be a time when you start saying, hey, listen, I know you had it rough, and I know that this is how you were raised, but this is not how we're going to raise our child together. That you can be, you can have boundaries without having to be angry, and that might be a conversation that you need to have, but you can't do it from the place of being triggered.
Does that make sense? It's getting centered first?
Yes, that makes complete sense.
Because what we find oftentimes, especially with couples, that it'll happen in a family system too. Hear of families where one child was the bad child, one was the angel, one was the, rebel. You know what I mean? Like they take on different roles.
Right.
There is also often, they become an energetic system the way that we see it. Well, a couple can do that and a family can do that where people take on certain energies. So in this dynamic, it's possible. I'm not saying that it is. We're just offering these up as possibilities for you to go and explore on your own and check in with your inner wisdom. But it's possible that your husband takes on the energy of anger in the family dynamic or aggression, and that you take on the energy of more compassion, softer, being in your heart. So he would be more clear. You might be more feeling. And does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, it definitely feels like the good cop, bad cop thing that we have going.
Yep.
So before having it enter with your kids, letting it play out there, you two might explore it together as a couple. And you might explore, how might your husband explore finding his own inner balance if he wants to? He may not want to. But finding addition, you know, finding more of his inner balance with softness and sitting with fear. Because oftentimes three-year-olds, they trigger fear like crazy. It's like ping, 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 ping in parents, right? Because
yeah.
they're having a mini rebellion. And then you might explore, what would it feel like to be more assertive, to allow aggression to come through, to allow anger to come through, to get more comfortable. When you start to find more of that balance within you, you won't sort of enlist someone else to have that energy in place for you. Does that make sense to you, Amanda?
It does. I mean, I definitely get angry with him too. So it's not like I'm not. I'm like, I mean, I can yell at him, and then I kind of play my own good cop afterwards. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to yell. I didn't mean to get angry with you about it.
Yeah.
I just really wanted you to clean your room, and it was upsetting me that you weren't listening to me.
Right. Right. Which is actually, I actually commend that, because it's not that you soften off your position of what you were asking them to do. It's just acknowledging the energy that came through as you were asking them. So I really appreciate that in what you're saying. And when you balance, my experience is when you balance yourself, the other person being part of the energy system can't help but find more balance. That's what I
just try it. Just try it. I mean, we find it in our own relationship. We find it with our clients. We're not saying that that's the answer, but just try it. Just ask yourself, I wonder if I'm out of balance at all related to the energy that my husband's taking on. And you can label it however you'd like, right? But you know what it feels like. And I wonder if I started to embody that more, what that might feel like for me.
Okay.
And just explore it and play with it. I know it's painful right now, but there's something that's coming up for you to heal, and that's the beauty part of it, but it doesn't feel like it at the time, and I understand.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. So thank you for calling in, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So, Melissa, we have just a couple minutes left here on the show. What would you like to share with all of our listeners just related to the path of, you know, awakening through parenting?
Wow.
It's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah, put me on the spot. I mean, there's only about 500 things that I would pick to talk about. And
just pick one, anything that just feels like, yep, that's... I
sure. Well, actually, I've written a few blog posts on it lately, so it's at the top of my mind, and it's easy to talk about. And it's around being present as a parent. And the latest blog post I wrote was because I've been lately observing other parents at cheerleading practice and things. And it's interesting, the parents that are there, right there with their kids, and then there's the other parents whose kids, you know, they say, Mom, 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 12 times before they get the attention.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we're talking about the last few weeks is about that, about being present with your kids and acknowledging who they are and being there with them, because everybody gets so caught up on their Blackberries and phone calls and their to-do lists, and everyone's in the future running through their mental, you know, checklist of everything, and they forget to just be right there in the moment with their kids. So I don't know if you guys have anything to say about that, but...
I do. I couldn't agree more. That's a great way to end. I'm so glad that... I know I put you on the spot, but I'm really glad that got brought up. Presence in parenting, I think, if you just make a commitment to yourself to bring yourself present in the moment, even if you can only do it for 3 minutes, do it for 3 minutes with your kids. You are telling them so much about themselves, because they are seeing themselves through you, their self-worth through you. Just becoming present with your children is probably one of the most important things that you can do as a parent. And I remember going through a lot of difficulty when my child was small, and I remember a therapist saying, he's doing really, really well, and a large part of it is because you're present. And, you know, if I can be present during excruciatingly difficult times, I know that each of you can challenge yourselves to become present for at least, you know, 3 minutes, and then give yourself a break, and then another 3 minutes, and then give yourself a break, and then another 3 minutes, until you build that muscle of being present.
You know, I'd love to share with our listeners the website one more time where they can go and jump into that article as well.
I read it. It was a really good article.
Yeah.
A really good blog post.
So it's It is www.projectgifted.com. This is the Everything is Energy radio show, and we also have a presence for you at everythingisenergy.com. It's a way to get presents.
And next week, tune in. We're going to be talking about when guruism turns deadly. It's going to be a really important show. So we'll see you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Everything is Energy radio show. Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sign up for our mailing list at everythingisenergy.com. By joining us, you'll be able to download our show and enjoy it over and over, or share it with someone you love.
Also, receive our special gift to you, the Everything is Energy Toolkit. It's a must-have package that will teach you to change your energy and change your life.
Sign up now at everythingisenergy.com.